Well, hi there. Here we are, session number 47. This one is entitled, As Instructed. God may speak in a succession of instances as one move on His part. You know, we tend to think that God will say something here and He say something there, but He can also speak in a succession of, He just speak a little bit and then be quiet for just a little bit and then speak a little again, but it's all one event, basically. This is shown in Judges 6 very plainly. God encounters Gideon concerning the deliverance of Israel from the hands of their oppressors several times. Gideon was approached by an angel of the Lord, by the angel of the Lord, and as he was doing a very mundane thing, preparing wheat in a wine press. A move of God is not necessarily something to be conjured up in only times of great gatherings of believers. God also moves in His times and seasons. God's plan is not necessarily our plan, just as God's ways are not man. So we've got to understand that as we approach God and we talk to God and we ask God for things or we volunteer to do things for God, that those are things that are within the time frame that we have. But God has another time frame going as well. And these have to mesh in. The most successful of these sorts of things, when done with God's leading, are done in God's timing and God's planning. Now that means that we need to always be prepared. Just like the brides who are waiting for the groom to come back, we need to always be prepared so that when we are called upon, we don't have to stop and get prepared then. That we are always prepared. That we are instant, in season, as the scripture says, and out of season. When the Lord speaks to a person, it is never a time for debate. Oh yes, to be certain, the Spirit needs to be discerned. The Scripture tells us that, to test the spirits. But we need to make sure who we're listening to. This is especially true of a new believer or someone not familiar with the ways of God. Now, I say that because there are people who have been claiming Christ for 20 years who are certainly not familiar with the ways of God. Because if they were, you'd see a lot of differences in their life. They sort of bought the fire insurance part, but they never developed the relationship part with God. So they are in many ways much like a new believer and in some ways worse off than a new believer because there's so much unlearning that has to be done with them. Sometimes with a new believer, you don't have to undo any false learning. But people who have been around for a while and feel comfortable in just sort of lazing around, waiting for the sweet by and by to show up someday and doing all they can for themselves here, those people are perhaps worse off than, as I say, the new believer. It is, however, possible or probable if God is communicating with someone unskilled or untaught in Scripture, God will be very plainly evident. Now, I want you to understand this. God will make sure that people of the whole spectrum of knowledge and understanding can understand something, particularly when He's doing a big move. Well, now let's take a look at one. A good example of this is found in the Christmas story in Luke 2, 8 through 14, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field. These certainly were not learned men. They may have known a lot about taking care of sheep, but this was the low-end job at the time. But God sent not one angel, but then a whole host of angels behind that angel to verify what was happening there. They, in Luke 2, 15 through 20, then went immediately to verify the experience what they had been instructed to do. This is exactly what they'd been told to do. They'd say, go. This is where you're going to find the babe. Now, there is a great example that God will talk to people on any knowledge level and understanding level. Now remember, at the same time this is going on, there are some guys coming from the east who are wise men, well learned, well educated. They're coming to that same baby in that town. And how did they find out? They found out because they knew the Word of God. So this shows the mercy of God for those people who are not well schooled, that God will also reach them as well, that He will reach both, if they're open to it. And the thing is, sometimes well-learned people are not open to it. But these well-learned people were open to it, and they came. And they not only came, but they didn't come empty-handed. They came bringing presents, because they knew you don't go into the presence of a king without something for him. Every day when we get up, if you're talking to the Lord, you're coming into the presence of a king. What are you offering him that day? What are you offering the king in the throne, on the throne, in the throne room that day when you come before the Lord? Are you offering him his life that day? Or are you offering him service that day? Or are you offering a plea for help only? Lord, bail me out of this. Lord, bail me out of that. It's very important to know that. When you come before, when you come before a king, you bring something with you that you're offering. Now here in Judges 6:25, we see the Lord instructing Gideon on what must be done first before Israel will be delivered from the oppression of the last 7 years. And this is what we hear has to be done. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Here Gideon was told to tear down the pagan altar adopted by his father's generation and replace it properly with an altar to the one true God. That one true God who had chosen Israel as his people. Does that sound like anything that might apply today? What has the last generation or even our generation done in this nation? What are we worshiping today? What are we worshiping in a land where you can't mention the name of Jesus in a public school? You can't mention the name of Jesus in a city council meeting? Think about it. Have we built altars? You can look at succeeding generations and find out what they worship. If you go to almost any town in this country, now I'm not talking big cities here, I'm just talking towns of maybe 30, 40,000 people, 50,000 people. Do you know what you're going to find around the centers of government where there used to be stores? You're going to find lawyers' offices. We've gotten fascinated with the law of man while abandoning the law of God. Isn't that interesting? We used to build great cathedrals, and we used to build great churches, and those used to be the centers of our communities. Now the centers of our communities are not that. What are they? They're shopping areas. The big buildings that are built are shopping areas. But now let's go back to the town centers again. What do we still find there besides? What do you find there besides the law offices? You find banks. You see, we built altars to mammon. You see? So we've got law offices, we've got banks, and what's the other? There's one other. What's the other? Insurance companies. To insure our future. So that our insurance will take care of us. So you see, we've gotten fascinated with man's law. We've gotten fascinated with money. And we've gotten fascinated with our protecting ourselves by buying insurance. Now, I'm not speaking against insurance. I'm not speaking against, you know, putting your money at interest, and I'm not speaking against man's law, but I'm saying there's a focus that's been lost, and that's changed. It used to be people ran to the parish pastor or priest or whatever. Now they run to the lawyer, you see, or they run to the government. So you've got the police officer there in the middle of the town. You watch what people do and how they've changed the geographic areas around what is the center of their existence. And you can learn a great deal about them. What have we done? We've abandoned farming for much part, you see. We've abandoned being close to the land. And there are people who have been very willing to step in and take that over. So now we say, oh, we have no control over our food prices. We have no control over our gas prices. We need more money. We need more money. We need more money. Isn't that what we hear? Or somebody cheated me and they got too much of my money. I'm going to take them to court. Isn't that what we hear? I'm going to get the law on them. You see? Or, boy, am I glad I had that insurance, because that took care of when somebody got mad at me and burned my place down. You see, where's God in all this? Have we built the wrong kind of altars? Do we have Asherah poles beside our altars? Has our Asherah pole been planted there, and we put more, I'm not saying not to be patriotic, but we put more store in our government? Man's government than we do God's government. It's amazing what we can build our altars to. And so here's Gideon, and he gets some instructions. You see, because Israel were people that had been chosen by God, and this is happening to them for 7 years. And it's interesting that Baal means master. And this kind of a master, you know, it's a little bit like we talked today about the difference between our religion and certainly one other major religion in the world, is that our God was willing to die for us. Their God requires that they die for Him. Drastic difference. A drastic difference. Jesus taught that you become, if you're the master, you become the servant of all, not the dominator of all. We must be discerning and to see these things so that we know what direction the world is going in. We've been privileged to live in this time, but it's not necessarily going to be a fun time. And those believers who are just looking for fun and games may get a very rude awakening. But it's being tied to Jesus Christ that lets you deal with what you're going to encounter, so that your eyes only may see it, but it may not touch you. Now, Gideon, taking 10 of his men, 10 of his servants, sets out to do as he has been instructed. Gideon did, however, choose to follow the instructions under the cover of darkness, as the deceived generations were sleeping comfortably. There used to be a time when you could stand up and say anything in this country, even if it was just totally off the wall. And anybody would have said, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it. You don't hear that anymore, do you? It's put him in jail. It's make it a hate crime. Only because they're going to make freedom better. There's kind of an interesting paradox there, isn't there? So, what we have here is Gideon does it, but he does it under the cover of darkness. Nothing wrong with that. He wasn't told to do it in the daylight. Notice his instructions weren't that. So he does it under the cover of darkness. And I think it's very interesting that there's a great parallel here, because Israel was in darkness and they were delivered in darkness. Now think about that for a minute. The deception of the altar to Baal and the Asherah poles there were torn down in the darkness. And he set about tearing down to build up. Some people just tear down to tear down. I've often said that any fool with a wrecking ball can tear something down. Any fool with a wrecking ball can destroy something. It takes somebody with understanding and discernment to build something up. So Gideon set about tearing down to build up, and sacrificing something of value held sacred. Now I want you to think about this. He's told to take this bull that's 7 years old. Now, different translations come up with that differently. Some try to say, well, that is, and I put that in your notes here, that is a fully mature bull. Well, that would be a fully mature bull. But I don't think it is strange at all that it's one that's 7 years old, because how long has Midian and all these people been oppressing Israel? For 7 years. So this bull would be very dear, wouldn't it? This is the first bull. This is the first fruit under the oppression. And the value of that bull would be so much greater because they were able to keep it alive. And what does Gideon do? Gideon brings it to that altar and he sacrifices it. So there is something, I will tell you, there is something about coming to God with sacrifice. That's why I say when you get up in the morning, you've got, you know, what are you going to take before the Lord? Now, yes, the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. But he was being obedient here before he made the sacrifice. So he had it in the right order. A lot of people want to be disobedient and then come up with a sacrifice to undo what they've done. Huh? If you've ever raised children, you've seen that happen. Oh, but I'll do this now to make up for it. You know? But obedience is better than sacrifice, and Gideon is obedient. Now, the light of day brought a revelation in town. Light always brings revelation. And the revelation is of God's move through Gideon. Now, notice what I said. God's move through Gideon. I say this because you need to understand, as believers, God wants to move through you. And oftentimes what we want to do is get people to, we want to get God to move for us, when His desire is to move through us. That's a very important distinction to keep in mind. It is God's desire to move through you, for you to lay hands on the sick and for them to recover, for you to speak out the good news of the gospel of what God's done in your life through Jesus Christ, so that others want what you have. But you've got to show them what kingdom living is for them to want to live in the same kingdom that you're in. And that only comes by how we behave and what we do. Carrying out God's instructions does not always make a person accepted or popular among the deceived. Let me say that again. Carrying out God's instructions does not always make a person acceptable or accepted or popular among the deceived. And all you have to do is watch the news today to know that if you stand up for anything scriptural, you're immediately branded some right-wing wacko crazo that we've got to all protect ourselves from. You see? In a country that against all odds became a country, in a country that against all odds went from sea to shining sea with a pittance of a purchase from France in the Louisiana Purchase. Now think about that. Think about what Thomas Jefferson did there. Think about what Abraham Lincoln did when he bought Alaska and they called it Seward's Icebox and Seward's Folly. And had that not happened, the Soviet Union would have been on this continent. Think about that. These were moves of God. They didn't even know they were involved in a move of God, but they were people who sought God. So what I'm trying to bring out there is that if you're a person of God, you may be involved in a move of God and never know it in your lifetime. Because it's God's plan. What we must do is be faithful and rely that if we are faithful, He will work through us. And He will not only work through, when I say us, I don't mean just as an individual, He will work through us corporately as well. So now there's this uproar in town. Gideon's father saw the godly way and defended his son. Now remember, he was following the pagan way, but he realized Gideon was right. And he says to those people, if Baal really is a god, he can defend himself. That is exactly right. And he didn't, because he wasn't a god. He didn't even real. He was something made with the hands of men. We cannot worship what we can appreciate what we do with our hands, but our God is the I Am. He is that He is that He is. You can't make anything that shows Him. How would you depict Him? You can't. Gideon was protected by both his heavenly father and his earthly father. Please grasp this, that you have the heavenly and the earthly mixing together to bring this about. You have Gideon on this earth carrying out God's desire. You have God providing the instruction and the protection. And then you have his earthly father as well as his heavenly father involved in this. Do you understand how the kingdom of God, there is a transition and a mingling of the kingdom of God and this life? And when you can see that, there is no fear. There is no fear when you see and understand that. Gideon was protected by both his heavenly father and his earthly father. Following God's instructions brings salvation, deliverance, and healing. Following God's instruction brings that. In the next session, we're going to start talking about how God chooses to fight as well. This should be so encouraging to you. This should be so encouraging, and I will tell you one of the things it will encourage you about. As we sit in homes and living rooms of people, it will encourage you to realize that the church in communist China is the largest church in the world, and they meet in homes in little groups. It's easy to point at the big groups, and I'm not criticizing that, but I'm saying do not be deceived. How many was this? Gideon and 10 of his servants did this and turned the whole nation around. Because the first thing they had to do before God could really defend them and get out there was they had to repent. They had to give up pagan ways. That's what we have to do. We've got to tell people, I was just lost in sin, a pagan, looking the wrong direction, not understanding where I was going, not understanding these things, and then I met Jesus. That's our message. And that's my message for this session.